Gatam.
How?
Nu.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Dadakaha.
Sons.
Dinaha.
Four.
Dadakihi.
Daughters.
Ma.
Or.
Aparayanaha.
Having no one else to depend on.
Vartishyante
will live.
Mayi,
when I.
Gate,
gone from this world.
Vina,
broken.
Navaha,
boat.
Iva,
like.
Udadal,
in the ocean.
The
translation, King Paranjana continued worrying.
After
I pass from this world, how will my sons and daughters who are fully dependent on me live and continue their lives? Their position will be similar to that of passengers aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean. You can repeat. King Paranjana continued worrying.
After I pass from this world,
how will my sons and daughters,
who are now fully dependent on me,
live and continue their lives?
Their position will be similar
to that of passengers aboard a ship,
wrecked in the midst of the ocean.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
At the time of death, every living entity worries about what will happen to his wife and children. Similarly, a politician also worries about what will happen to his country or his political party. Unless one is fully Krishna conscious, he has to accept a body in the next life according to his particular state of consciousness. Since Paranjana is thinking of his wife and children and is overly engrossed in thoughts of his wife, he will accept the body of a woman. Similarly, a politician or so-called nationalist who is inordinately attached to the land of his birth will certainly be reborn in the same land after ending his political career. One's next life will also be affected by the acts one performs during this life. Sometimes politicians act most sinfully for their own sense gratification. It is not unusual for a politician to kill the opposing party. Even though a politician may be allowed to take birth in his so-called homeland, he still has to undergo suffering due to his sinful activities in his previous life. The science of transmigration is completely unknown to modern scientists. So-called scientists do not like to bother with these things because if they would at all consider the subtle subject matter and the problems of life, they would see that their future is very dark. Thus, they try to avoid considering the future and continue committing all kinds of sinful activities in the name of social, political, and national necessity. So, katam dadaka dina dadakir vaparayanaha Vartishyante mahi gate vinanava ivo datau. So, omagana tibirandasya gananjana shalakaya chaksur of meditam yena tosmai shi gurave namaha. So this consciousness that we are actually maintaining someone and protecting someone is part of our... or part and parcel of the consciousness of wanting to be, or the desire of wanting to be, the Purusha. Purusha sometimes is taken as meaning male, sometimes it means person, and sometimes it means the person who is controlling. Purusha Adi Purusham. Krishna is the original Purusha. So because we want to be the Purusha, we're assuming all sorts of moods that go along with the being the Purusha, like the enjoyer, the proprietor, the protector, the well-wisher, just like Krishna talks in the Bhagavad Gita in the fifth chapter, text 29. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshram suvidam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. Prabhupada quotes this as the peace formula. He says, one should understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, the object of all sacrifice, jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshram, the Lord of all the worlds, and he's the well-wisher, surit. Surit means, like, basically good heart. The literal meaning. Suridham. So of all living entities. And one who understands this, Krishna says in the Gita, then, Gyatva mam shantim richati, he becomes peaceful. So here we see that Paranjana is not peaceful. He's in anxiety about what will happen. But if he understood the simple fact that Krishna is the well-wisher, he's in everyone's heart. He's around 24 hours a day. Just like I was just reading, I'm doing some research about the Muslim religion. It's really interesting. Muhammad, he was looking at different things that people worshipped in the world. You know, like even in India, they worship the sun sometimes, or they may worship the moon, or this. So he looked at the moon, first of all. He said, well, maybe we should worship the moon. And so what happened is, he said, but the moon's not always there. And then he went to the sun. Sun's pretty good, you know. Cause, anyway, and the sun's not always there. So he's thinking, I should worship something that's always there. And, of course, that's Krishna. Of course, I don't know if he actually knew the name Krishna or not. Of course, he used the word Allah. Allah is the word in Arabic for the greatest, you know, basically. It doesn't literally mean God. It means the greatest. You understand? Although it's taken as God. I mean, obviously, no one else is going to call themselves the greatest except for Muhammad Ali. I don't know if you remember Muhammad Ali. He said, I am the greatest. In other words, he was saying, I am Allah, in spite of being a Muslim, he was saying, I am Allah, in so many other words. He didn't use that word, but, you know, obviously a good Muslim would never say, I am Allah, or I am the greatest. So the point I'm making is that he accepted Allah or God because God is always there. You know, 24 hours a day, you know, 24/7, as they say. He's always there, and he's always taking care of nicho nichanam. Chaitanya is chaitananam. Eko bahunam yopadadati kamam. He's been taking care of us since time immemorial, all the plural living entities. He's the Father. That was another thing I had an argument with the Muslim religion. They say God is not the Father. He does not beget, nor is he begotten. That's a fancy word. Beget or begotten. Begotten means basically you're not born. Like your body was begotten by your parents. Of course, the soul is also eternal. Nitya nityanam chaitanya chaitanam. So this, you were not begotten either. Your body is begotten. And so the point is that, you know, they say God does not beget. But that sort of takes away the whole Father. They don't believe that God is a Father, which is interesting. I found that quite interesting. But God is the Father. Aham bija pradapita. It's really interesting. I mean, I really enjoy studying other religions. Even I enjoy studying Krishna consciousness too, but... anyway, I mean, it's something we do for preaching. You know, we understand these things. Although... it's not that I'm going to join some other religion, because no other religion has God playing a flute. You know, if the Jewish religion had God playing the flute, I'd think about it. But and dancing with the gopis in the middle of the night. But, you know, the best that God does is he gets angry and jealous. So it's really not so attractive, you know, to have God just getting angry at you all the time and giving you all these harsh injunctions, like, you know, if your children disobey, kill them. That's there in the Bible. You know, so So God is the Father. Ham Bija Pradapita. I'm the seed giving Father. Bija Pradapita. Giving the seed to everyone, all living entities. So he is the Father. Although in the spiritual world, we don't accept him as the Father, which is interesting too. In the spiritual world, we accept him as the Son, lover, our good friend, buddy. Krishna, our buddy. Who's your best friend? Krishna. I don't think you find that in too many other religious systems. Yeah, Krishna's my best friend. Krishna's my lover. God's my lover. Allah, your lover? You better be careful about that one. He may burn you. So the point is that that Krishna is there all the time. Krishna's protecting us. Krishna's maintaining us. And we're in such illusion thinking that we're the maintainer, the protector. And there's a flip side to that, too. The flip side is we think we're being maintained and protected by someone else. You understand? From both directions, it's Maya. Like the wife is looking at the husband thinking, without you, I could not live. You providing me everything. And of course, we should not neglect our responsibilities. Understand that Krishna's protecting, Krishna's maintaining. It's not that the husband should run away from the home and say, Krishna will take care of you. And the wife shouldn't say to the husband, Krishna will cook for you. The husband comes home, I'm hungry. I'm not your cook. Krishna takes care of everything. Ask Krishna to cook for you. So, of course, when one's a sannyasi, one does have that attitude, especially the stage of Parivajakacharya sannyas, where one doesn't... Like, we find Madhavendra Puri. He was at Govardhan. He didn't even ask for food. That's even better than Madhukari. Madhukari, you go around to everyone's house. Can I have a chapati, please? Can I have a slice of pizza, please? Can I have a pakora, laddu, sweet? So that's called Madhukari. Not that you take a lot in everyone's house. But in the Parivajakacharya stage, in the Paramahamsa stage, then it's just, you just sit and wait for Krishna. Krishna doesn't maintain you. You don't eat. Just like that story of the Paramahamsa and that Prahlad Maharaj ran across in the Bhagavatam, the story. And he was lying on the street. He was just lying down. It was like a python. And he was very fat. So, sorry, I'm not supposed to use that word anymore. He was horizontally challenged. So, I had to be sensitive. So, he was a little big. So, and Prahlad Maharaj said, just lying here. He says, well, sometimes I live like a king. Sometimes I eat very little. Just depend on Krishna. So that's, of course, that's a position you're really free from anxiety. When you do something like that, you're not worried about, who's going to maintain me, who's going to protect me, because it's Krishna. Krishna will take care, right? If I'm meant to eat, Krishna will provide. If I'm not meant to eat, Krishna won't provide. And it sort of gives one a dependence or instills one with a sense of dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, of course, one shouldn't take to that role unless they actually have full faith in Krishna. That's the point. If one has full faith in Krishna, then... Like Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world with basically $10 worth of rupees and some books. And, he had that faith. Krishna's going to take care of me. He didn't worry, how he was going to eat. Of course, he brought a few little oats with him or something like that. Because he thought in America there wasn't going to be any vegetarian food. He thought, well, maybe it's just meat and potatoes or something like that, and there won't be any grains. It's interesting how in those days people didn't know really what was happening in America. They just thought it was a bunch of rakshasas or who were just eating flesh, just like... In many ways it is like that. Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're just like tearing apart birds. I had a friend who was from Germany. He's pretty Peru.
He was brought up in a castle, and they would have this, you know, in downstairs, like in the dungeon or whatever it is, downstairs, the basement of the castle, they'd have this big table, just like you see in the movies, and they put a giant pig on the table, and the pig would have like an apple in his mouth. You ever seen that in the movies? I mean, the Germans are like that. I don't know about the British. The British just, they eat any damn thing. But what is that? The ham? They like ham too, right? Yeah. Ham is very, very popular there. So anyway, so Prabhupada came, and he didn't know what to expect, but he was depending on Krishna. Krishna will take care of me. You know, on the boat, coming over. So that's really the consciousness of someone who is fully renounced. You know, Krishna's going to take care, and he's not an anxiety over his maintenance, and he's not an anxiety over other people's maintenance. There's two things. There's a flip side to this thing. So if you get an anxiety thinking that you're the protector, maintainer of someone, I mean, of course, one has to do their duty. I have to be very careful. But if one is an anxiety about it, then you're really meditating on the person or even on the animal. I mean, people in America and other places, they get into animals. You know, how can my fish live without me? You know, I remember I was in, where was I? Oh, Govardhan. And little Padma has her fish there. She has a whole fish tank, like, fit this big. I was thinking, India, where are you going to get a fish tank? Well, I discovered even in Mathura they sell fish tanks. You know, it's popular even in India for people to have fish. I didn't even know that. I thought, you know, everyone chants Hare Krishna. Like I said last night when I first went to India, I thought I found everybody chanting Hare Krishna with tilak and just like pure devotees. But I found, you know, they like fish, not just to eat, but, you know, pets. And even in Bombay, people are walking with their little French poodles in Jewel Beach. You know, you go walking like where Prabhupada walked in Jewel Beach, and people are walking with their nicely trimmed French poodles. You know, the French poodle? You know, with the little, you know, they have the hair here and the hair here. I mean, I can't really describe what it is, but they're cute. They're, you know, they trim the hair. It's really interesting how they take care of them. They trim the hair in certain places, like you see the skin in certain places, and you see the hair, and it's all fluffed out. It's really interesting. So, anyway. So getting back to the little story about little Padma. So she was so much anxiety about her fish that one time I asked her, I said, you know, she was supposed to bring me my water before I took rest, because I keep water in my room. And so I gave her the bottle, and then it was like 15 minutes later, half an hour later, what happened? She said, oh, my fish were hungry. So, because I teased her a little bit about it, hope she's not listening. No, she won't be listening. So, it was actually quite interesting how people think, you know, of course it's nice, you shouldn't let the fish die, but you develop this whole sense that and it's really based upon imitating the Purusha. You know, that you really get joy thinking that someone is dependent on you. That's the point. Not that you shouldn't do your duty, but there's like a whole like type of happiness you get thinking, oh, these people dependent. I mean, even that happens like with a guru. You know, the guru can be in Maya too. Thinking, without me, you know, how can I leave this world now? Where are my disciples? You know, sometimes I think like that. What will happen to my disciples? How will they go on chanting Hare Krishna? They'll be all hopeless. You know, just like this. You know, I'm exactly like this King Paranjana. So they'll be helpless and hopeless. They won't chant anymore. I have to keep this body going as long as possible. And I have to make sure that there's a nice samadhi so they can go and worship me and be inspired. You know, like, you know, so what I'm saying is that this sort of consciousness doesn't just apply to, like, poor Paranjana here. It's all across the board, whether you have a pet or you're a guru, and then you have pet disciples. So, because you don't pet them, you know. Like. But you're,
It's actually quite interesting. So, but you're planning out like that, you know, like, how will things go? And you know, not that I'm in charge of the Hare Krishna movement, I have to worry about establishing a GBC. Prabhupada already did that. You know, Prabhupada has already set up a system, so things will go on, and everyone will have a support system. But still, I'm thinking, you know, what should I write on my samadhi that'll inspire people? You know, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Whatever, you know, I'm just planning it out right now, just the samadhi, ordering the parts for the samadhi. You know, you know, order, you know, what type of stone, how high it will be, where it will be, should we charge admission so I can make some money? How will it maintain? Who's gonna do the worship? You know, all these things come through the mind. I'm not saying I'm doing it, but these things come into the mind like that. So that's silliness, because it's just, you know, you get some joy out of thinking that, you know, people are dependent on me. You know, of course, in one sense, the disciple is spiritually dependent on the guru, but they have to learn not simply be. Sentimental about it, but they have to learn the guru's message. So the prophet said they can fly the plane by themselves. You know, at the time of death, the spiritual master is not going to beam in, you know, like a Star Trek. He said, you know, beam me in, Dasi. You know, he's not going to beam in to the airplane where you are. You know, you're flying your airplane. You know, the prophet used that example. You're flying your airplane at the time of death. And that means you got to figure out how to think of Krishna. You better have imbibed the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna's pastimes and gotten rid of your anarthas by then. The guru's not going to come and say, all right, I'm taking you back to Godhead. You know, in exceptional cases. But in any case, you got to learn to fly on your own. You got to stand on your own 2 feet. You know, you can't just be like completely dependent. Otherwise, you take another birth like that. So the success of being a guru is that you train the disciples in standing on their own 2 feet. You know, be independently thoughtful. Like Prabhupada said, he wanted devotees to be independently thoughtful. Not just specialists in one particular activity. Of course, they can specialize, but they should know about everything. You know, someone says, I just know how to offer arti, but I don't know how to cook. Or, I just know how to give a class, but I don't know how to do this. You know, so we should actually become independently thoughtful, independently capable of taking care of ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And so on both sides. I'm just trying to present both sides of the equation. So the guru shouldn't be like thinking, you know, what will happen, and the disciples shouldn't be thinking, you know, I'm going to bloop when the guru goes away. It just kind of silly. Because the guru is present in sound vibration. Anyway, so, nor should we be getting our jollies thinking that I'm happy that other people are dependent on me. Because actually, you should see Krishna is taking care of these living entities. Well, just one story from the Bhagavatam about how someone was in Maya about thinking himself he had a pet. Of course, that was Bart Maharaj. Bart Maharaj had a pet. It wasn't a fish. That's interesting. That's just another thing about fish. Because she had these fish, and some of the fish were eating the other fish. Because she bought some of the fish in the fish store, and she got some fish at Lalita Kund, you know, because there's all sorts of fish in the Kunds. And the fish from the fish store were eating the fish from Lalita Kund. There was so much anxiety. But that's what fish do. Jivasa jivasa jivanam. You know, one fish eats another fish. Hare Krishna. So anyway, let's get to the story of Bart Maharaj, which I love. So Bart Maharaj, he had this consciousness too, that he was protecting this little baby deer. This little baby deer is defenseless without me. You know, this, and actually by that time it become a full grown deer, you know, by the time he left his body. You know, obviously full grown deer, I don't know if they can take care of themselves, but you know, the lions and tigers, but that's natural. It's natural for tigers to eat deer, isn't it? I mean, how are you going to stop it? Are you going to protect? Are you going to shoot the tiger so the tiger doesn't eat the deer? But that's part of life in the material world. But we're so sentimental. You know, we want to kill one living entity to protect another living entity. I mean, so because we want to consider ourselves to be the protector of a particular type of living entity who happens to be cute, adorable, and helpless. Of course, some people keep tigers too, but anyway. So Bart Maharshi was thinking like that. He was thinking, oh, this poor little deer. And he was all night long, day long, he was meditating, chanting his Gayatri mantra. He was thinking of the sweet kiss of the deer. Like people think of that licking of the dogs. You know, they have, you know, many people, they go into the Christmas tree and they discover like a little puppy for Christmas. I was going to give someone a kitten for Christmas, but I didn't make it to the pound. So Bart Maharshi was very attached because he was thinking, I'm the maintainer, I'm the controller. Without me, this poor little deer will never be happy. And as a result, he took body of the deer. So we have to avoid that. We should cultivate this dependence on Krishna as far as our own maintenance and understand Krishna's taking care of everyone. And we should act as Krishna's servant, do our duty, but understand that Krishna's acting through us to maintain them. It's not that we give up our duty. I'm reiterating that again and again and again. It's not that we give up our duty if we have the responsibility of maintaining someone. Or the guru has the responsibility of giving spiritual instruction to someone. He says, well, Krishna's actually the one giving you spiritual instructions. I'm just going to play video games all day long. And if Krishna wants, he'll give you video instructions. Not video instructions, but he'll give you instructions. You know, it's up to Krishna, bye-bye. No, you do your duty, like Arjuna understood at the end of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna was going to be the one who was responsible for killing the opposite side, but he did his duty in terms of being instrumental in carrying out Krishna's will, and then you get the spiritual benefit. So that's really the point here, that we do our duty, but understand ultimately it's Krishna doing it. And then, you know, when Krishna takes us away, which he will, then things will go on. The world will go on. I hate to say it. World will go on when we leave the world, you know. It's still going to be here. You know, it's still going to be economic problems or good times or whatever, you know. The world's not dependent on us. Okay, is there any questions or comments about these things? Questions, comments, arguments? So King Paranjana, King Paranjana, he's just very much in anxiety. Described as terrible. Poor guy. He was worrying. So, no? Yeah. Yeah.
For example, he was going to say, not because you're attached, right? He was just compassionate?
Well, went beyond compassion. I mean, obviously, as a devotee, we would take care of a baby deer. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I mean, if you found a little baby deer there, mother died, because mother's being chased by a tiger or lion, yeah, I mean, you take care of it. You do your duty, you take care of it, you feed it, but you don't think that I'm the all-in-all. See, the real problem is wanting to become the all-in-all to someone. And that, you know, that a typical example is, of course, the romantic relationship. You were everything to me. You're the sun. You're the moon. You're the stars. You ever hear that? Of course, you can read the same stuff in the works of the Goswamis in relationship between Radha and Krishna. That Krishna is everything to Radha, and Radha is everything to Krishna. But that's the problem. Not that we don't take care, maintain, or compassionate. I mean, obviously. I mean, even this morning I saw a spider and I felt compassionate. It was a real big one in my house, about this big.
When I was young, I used to be real scared of spiders and try to kill them and get rid of them and everything. But now I just love them. So, even cockroaches. I mean, you advance in Krishna consciousness, you develop love for spiders, cockroaches, all living entities. It's true. That's how you can judge your advancement. When you see a spider, if you feel hate, you're not very advanced. Or a cockroach. That's how you judge your spiritual advancement like that. Seriously. So, because if you feel hate, then because that person, that interferes with your sense gratification. I mean, you have that great devotee who Lord Chaitanya came across, that's Vasudeva, he had leprosy. He had worms in his body from the leprosy. And what did he do when they popped out? He put them back. So he loved those worms. So in other words, we are compassionate. No, I don't want to give the impression that we become cold-hearted. Hey, that's your karma. Bye-bye. You know, so we are compassionate. We take care of people. Give them prasadam, we take care. You know, you see someone suffering in the street, you got to help them. It's like we're trying to help the people in Vrindavan and Govardhan. However, we should not think that we're the doers. That's the real, that's a lesson from Bhagavad Gita. That I'm being instrumental. Krishna's giving me the opportunity to be instrumental to carry this out, this act of compassion. But as soon as you start to think, without me, these people would be nowhere, then you're fallen at that point. And if I'm not here, nobody will take care of them. That's not the right consciousness. Like Arjuna was thinking, you know, I'm required to carry out this battle, Kurukshetra, but it was going to happen anyway. Krishna showed in the universal form. Everybody was going to die except for a few people. And Arjuna was just the instrument. He said, just be instrumental. Yeah. Yes. And Krishna is using me as an instrument. Krishna is so kind that he is allowing me to be the instrument. That's how you think. Because if you start to think I'm the doer, I'm the creator of their good fortune, I mean, then you start to think you're God. I'm the well-wisher. You know, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suradam. I'm the well-wisher of all living entities. It's by my mercy you're here. You know, I bless you to go back to Godhead. Or I bless you to have money. That's even better. So, but it's, you know, you think that Krishna is engaging me in this. And then what you're doing, even though it's so difficult, it's an act of devotion for Krishna. Because if it's based on your own compassion, it's rather limited. Then after all, you get frustrated. You're just thinking, you know, I've reached the limit of my compassion. These people, they're always is like, I mean, you know, just like if you have a lot of disciples, it's like I have so many children. You know, oh my God, what emails am I getting today? And when it rains, it pours with the emails. You know, some days there's none. It's just like on Christmas, everybody's into their own selves. So they don't write me on Christmas, but other days it just pours. And so if it's just like the compassion is just coming from me, you understand? Then there's a limit to it, because I'm not acting as an instrument to Krishna. If I'm thinking I'm the doer, it's by my love and compassion and wonderfulness, I'm guiding all these souls back to Godhead. Maha Acharya, you know, whatever. But I'm just instrumental for my spiritual master and Krishna. So if you think like that, even in regard to your family, you know, taking care, then your compassion becomes unlimited. Because you're transmitting Krishna's compassion and love to living entities, rather than the separate love and compassion, which is actually limited as far as we have. Do you understand? So you think, I'm serving Krishna. And of course, you actually feel love and compassion, because that love and compassion from Krishna is coming through your heart. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.